podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
You're listening to Australia's number one tech podcast. Every week, join hosts Brad and Jason here on the Tech Webcast. Download our iPhone app, follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and visit us online at techwebcast.info. Here are your hosts, Brad and Jason.
Welcome to episode 179 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 17th of March, 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7. Today's hosts are Brad, Jason, Steve, and Jody, and we've got Brad Newman on as a guest.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, thanks. How are you? Good on you, mate. How are you? Jason.
I'm great, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
Oh, good, buddy. Welcome to the show. We'll have a chat to you in about 5 minutes. Hang there. Hang tight. Jason, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. How's yourself?
I'm going pretty well, buddy. What's been happening in your past last week we spoke?
I went and checked out the new iPad.
How do you like it?
It's very nice. The screen is gorgeous to look at. I had a look at a couple of our websites and things and videos. Looks very nice.
Sweet.
Pretty zippy to use.
Good stuff.
It's funny because there's lines out the front of the Apple store in Sydney, George Street, but I went around the corner to Nextbyte Computers, which is an Apple reseller, and there's like three on display and only one other person was in there, so quickly got to use one, filled around with it, tried it out, and I was on my way.
Cool.
I'm not going to get one at this stage, but probably in the future at some stage I will, but my iPad 2 is good enough for me.
Well,
how about yourself?
I have some news for you, Jason. I've sold my iPad 2. I'll be getting one very shortly. One comes in stock, yep. So I'll be getting one.
You know where my address is, so just send it up.
I'll try. I'll be getting one. I got the good price for it. So I said, I'll sell it and I'll get one.
Yeah, Big W had them very cheap.
Oh, really? How much?
I think it was like $4.98 for 16 gig or something like that.
Yeah. What size do you have at the moment?
Mine, 16.
Oh, 16. And does 16 work out for you okay? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't have a lot of video and music on it.
Yeah.
Just the apps.
Yeah, I might just get, I don't know, that's what happens. I was going to get a 32, but I might see what happens. But we'll see. Also, we have Jody back. Hey, Jody.
Hey, hi, Brad.
With a Y. Also, we.
Y, I have no idea.
Hi, E.
With Steve. Hey, Steve. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up?
Good, mate. You started early today.
Yeah, I forgot about the time zone change. You guys don't, in Australia, you don't change your time zone, I guess, until April the 1st.
Yeah, that's
somewhere
correct.
Around there, yeah,
April the 1st. Yeah, we go back to those settings 1 hour back
I start
in April.
An hour and a half early.
Yeah.
So
is that going to affect you? Is that going to affect your show at any in the future? Or?
No, because once you change to the Australian time zone next month, it won't. You know, everything will be at the same time.
Okay. All right. Cool. And also a shout out to a person that sent me an email during the week, which I can't find. He said he really enjoys the podcast each week, and he's going to keep listening. So.
Good news.
Thanks for the viewer feedback. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jason, what's up first, mate? You going to get some news for us, mate?
Yes.
All right.
The Apple's new iPad went on sale in Australia early yesterday, greeted by a throng of fans hoping to get a hold of a 4G-ready tablet computer that won good reviews despite stopping short of being called a major innovation. Carrier Telstra stole a march on Apple, commencing sales at just two of its stores at midnight. The initial rush for the first new third-generation iPad sold globally was not at one of Apple's gleaming glass and polished wooden stores in Sydney, but across the road at a Telstra store. Telstra opened two stores just after midnight local time to begin selling the iPad, stealing an eight-hour march on Apple. The third-generation iPad from Apple, which sports a high-definition Retina display and comes with a better camera, is capable of operating on high-speed 4G LTE, or long-term evolution, network. But this version is not compatible with Telstra's 4G network in Australia. Apple shares breached $600 for the first time on Thursday on the NASDAQ, but gave up gains and dipped into the red in the afternoon. The stock is up 47% for the year and nearly 10% on the month, partly on anticipation for the new device. A single Apple share now costs more than the Wi-Fi-only iPad, which is priced starting at US $499. An Australian Samsung executive has labelled Apple's marketing of its new iPad with 4G mobile broadband technology as confusing, considering the tablet will not be capable of 4G broadband speeds in Australia. An Australian spokeswoman for Apple said on the day the new iPad was unveiled last Thursday after some confusion that it was correct to say it did not connect to Telstra 4G. Despite this, it hasn't stopped Apple from advertising its new tablet in Australia as one that can use 4G, leaving it to the fine print for customers to find out that they cannot get 4G speeds here. Following the publication of this article, the Apple spokeswoman did not say why the mobile iPad version continued to be advertised as 4G, but noted that the Apple website listed telcos in the US and Canada as supporting 4G. The new iPad supports fast mobile networks the world over up to 4G LTE, the spokeswoman said. The competition watchdog, the ACCC, said it would not be making any comment on Apple. It did, however, say that as a general rule, Australian businesses were prohibited from misleading their customers. Traders should be very careful about promoting the benefits of a good or service without adequately discussing the limitations on receiving those benefits. Online payments provider PayPal has moved to grab a share of the growing mobile payments market by launching its own device, enabling merchants to accept credit card or debit card payments anywhere, anytime. The device, called PayPal Here, comprises a mobile phone application and a thumb-sized triangular card reader that can be attached to the audio jack of a smartphone. Using the combination, a merchant or salesperson can swipe the card through the card reader that is plugged into the smartphone and accept payments via PayPal. Credit card reading devices that can be attached to mobile phones already available from Square and Verifone. PayPal launched its device on Friday in Australia, Hong Kong, the United States, and Canada. PayPal's head of new ventures in the Asia-Pacific region, Brad Patterson, said the device was specifically intended for small businesses, especially those that may have employees on the road. The device will be useful to people such as plumbers, electricians, masseuses, salespeople, or operators of market stalls. And that's the news for today.
Yes, great story, Jason. That last one's going to be a good story when that comes out. I'll be getting one of them for sure.
Yeah, it's funny that PayPal would have a triangular device to take on Square.
Yeah,
Square I like it. The triangle.
Are you going to get one, Jason?
No, I don't have anything to sell.
I'll just like it just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
I just like the thing of it.
And you can tell everybody around that you now accept credit card payments.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, JD? What's your view on that story? Or any story, actually?
Well, I think it's really cool. But here in the States, there have been a lot of applications that are using smartphones to accept credit cards or affinity cards. And I think it's the wave of the future. I mean, who needs to carry around dirty dollar bills anymore? You can carry around your dirty cell phone.
Well, you wouldn't call it. You wouldn't call an iPhone 4S a dirty phone. You call it a clean phone.
Well, no, my friend. They've done studies and they've discovered that there are many people who are in the habit of taking their phones into the restroom with them.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It is disgusting. So next time before you borrow somebody's phone to speak on it, just think twice.
I'll never borrow anyone's phone. I use my own phone.
Good.
What about you, Steve? What's your view on that? Stories.
Interesting. You said, you know, that the phone being dirty, because I know money, actually, they tested the money and they found like bacteria, salmonella, and all kinds of diseases.
Wow. Yuck.
Just on cash.
That's
money.
Disgusting. So would you
use your phone? I can't wait until the payments, the mobile payments using your actual device are going to be more popular.
That'd
They've
be
got
cool.
it in Australia at the Commonwealth Bank. You can buy a case to put your iPhone into and then swipe it instead of a credit card to make payments in stores. I can't wait till that becomes more ubiquitous around Australia, especially since last weekend I went grocery shopping and forgot my wallet with my credit card in, but I had my phone. So if I had one of those devices, I would have been able to pay for my groceries instead of rushing home in the car to grab my wallet and then going back to get my grocery.
Wow. Yeah.
That's I don't think that's too far in the future.
I wish, yeah, I hope the supermarkets do that one day. They take the PayPal or whatever you call it, the cart, the square thing, whatever it is, but that's coming out of one of them things. But, yeah. All right. Well, Brad Newman's here.
Hey, guys.
Brad Newman.
How you doing?
How are you, Brad Newman?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I can't complain. Life is good.
Good on you, mate. Tell us about what you do.
I'm a voice actor and a sound design engineer. I own a studio called Reclaim Creation. It's online at reclaimcreation.com. And so the short answer is we make stuff make noise, and I love doing it.
Love it. Well, give us a sample, mate. Jump into it.
Sure, yeah. We finished up a couple of pieces for a South African steel company recently. We had to do it in three different languages, which was a pretty big challenge. So we did it in English, Afrikaans, Zulu, and Zepedi. So there's two pieces of those, two pieces of some other stuff, and then we can get into the radio stuff coming up. But here this is. Here comes playback.
Here we go. That's great.
Isn't that fantastic? Yeah, I switched an output there. So that's just wonderful, isn't it?
Whoa, that's great. And
it sounded good.
Yeah, it sounded really good.
Here it is for you.
Here we go. Here we go.
We did it. We survived 50 years of regime change. Sikwenzile.
Hey, what about this one? This dress would look great on you.
Oh, I don't know. Let me go try it on.
Oh, I blocked his number. Now he keeps texting me all the time.
What?
Tired of paying high termite renewals and watching it go up year after year after year.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger or
something. Yeah, it did.
So, I mean, those we use different talent on whenever we have to do stuff like that. And, you know, so that's part of kind of the studio side of what I do. And then we do radio and news promo open for all over the states here and some stuff overseas as well. So when they open up the newscast and they list the anchors as far as what they're doing or they ID the radio station, that type of stuff, imaging or promo work, I do that as well. And if you want to hear some of that, I can play you some of that.
Sure, go ahead. Let's hear it.
All right, cool. Hopefully this time it plays for you.
Nope, doesn't play.
You could hear that, yeah?
No. Fail.
Nope.
Are you really serious? Okay,
seriously.
Hold on. That's just bad. Okay. Yeah. Well, all right, here this comes. We'll try one more time.
Fast
and first.
Fast and first.
With the latest breaking news every 30 minutes, this is AM 600, your news and talk station. Growing faster than acorn election fraud.
It's chilling.
The talk of New York. AM 970, The Apple.
So that's a couple of the news talk things, and there's some top 40 stuff like this.
To test the proposition that 94.5 Kiss FM has more songs than you can shake a stick at, we got a stick and tried it. Some have suggested that B101 has more songs than we know what to do with. Although we have a lot more songs than anyone else, we know exactly what to do with them.
Wait, what do we do with them? So there's some of that.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Love it.
They're great. They're really
love it.
When they play, right?
Yeah. For sure.
We'll have to take the audio down there. We're getting the echo again.
Yeah, echo.
Yeah, I already did. It's gone.
Cool. All right. Okay. All right, Jason, any questions for Brad?
Yeah, what sort of equipment do you use for recording and mixing your audio?
We use Pro Tools here, which is pretty much a standard in a lot of stuff. And then we have about 40 different mic pre's and compressors that we'll use, about 18 different mics that we'll swap in and out of the line. And oddly enough, things that people would never think of, like shotguns. We actually love to take those and go out and capture some sounds that we may need in some interesting ways, because sometimes you just can't find that stock effect that you're looking for. An example of that is there was this CG for this college, this computer graphic where they were building this college on the screen, and we had to have a sound as the building was being built, and we just couldn't find what we wanted to in a lot of our stock stuff, so we went outside, grabbed a couple of mics, and took a 12-gauge pump shotgun and used the ratchet on that several times to create the sound effect of the building coming together as the animation was being built.
Neat. Wow. So you do the animation as well, or just the audio?
No. I work with a great team of other freelance guys who do computer graphics. If it's for a film, I mean, all I can take credit for is everything that you hear in the piece. So if the piece is for TV, then obviously there's great graphics guys and camera guys and all these other color grading guys behind the scenes that make that stuff look fantastic. My goal is to just take any audio that they shot in the field and then rebuild the elements from the ground up. For example, there was a YMCA spot that we did, and everything in the scene was completely muted out when we got the video, because there was people actually in the facility using the stuff. There was TVs on, and you just can't eliminate those types of things. So every sound of every treadmill, the air conditioner that ran, the guy pedaling his elliptical machine, every single sound that you heard, my job was to go back in and put that sound and make it sound like it was captured for real the first time.
Oh, like a Foley artist.
Yeah, except we don't actually usually do a lot of the Foley. We did in the shotgun piece that I gave you an example on, but in the rest of the stuff, we have thousands upon thousands of stock sound effects that we can use. Other companies go out and they spend their life dedicated to recording those, and we just have a license to those to use them in our productions.
yeah, no point in reinventing the wheel, right?
Absolutely, right. Absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say I was mucking around with the I wanted to have a look at getting into audio at one stage many years ago, and because I couldn't afford to get something like Pro Tools, I found one that's shareware online called Reaper.
Yeah, yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it runs on Windows, and it does a lot of the things that the Pro Tools and other really expensive ones do. So it's good if somebody was starting out and they wanted to get some practice on how to mix audio and add in effects and plugins. It works with a lot of the standard plugins, and you could try using Reaper and get some practice.
Yeah, there's a lot of different applications that people can use that they like, and which one's better is just based on preference, you know, solely alone. There's a lot of similarities that these share between them. But, you know, Pro Tools has lots of different options. You can get an MBox now, third generation, for really like $500. I think they might even have one a little less. And so, I mean, you can get into Pro Tools. They've pretty much got a system for everybody, so you can get into it pretty cheap.
Sweet.
All right. Steve, any questions?
Actually, I do. It's kind of interesting. This week, I was doing a video, and I needed to do a voiceover, and I could have used you earlier, but it's too late now because I put two voiceovers for the video that's coming up. I don't like to do voiceovers, but you know, I figure, well, it's going to fit into the video. So I kept it short. It worked, and that's all I got to say.
All right. Yeah, I mean, and even if we're not doing just the VO, I mean, people need to really realize that a lot goes behind mastering of sound. And there's a lot of times we take what they've shot, you know, in their video that was done on scene, and we can sweeten it, EQ, filter stuff out, and make things sound a lot better. There's whole sections of videos where we will actually take the talent that they had in front of the camera. We'll do an ADR session and recapture what they did just because the audio was so badly captured and stuff. But there's a lot that can be done with it, you know, even on the studio side. So
yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize all the work that goes behind the scenes after the audio is recorded. I mean, like movies, when they record a movie with the cameras, there's a
absolutely
heck of a lot of changing the saturation and hues and all sorts of things behind the scene and making it look a lot better, the grass greener and the clothes brighter and all that sort of stuff. And the same thing goes with the audio, with the compression and amplification, all that sort of thing that people don't really understand, and filtering as well.
Yeah, there's just not enough mics to capture everything that you want to capture, that you want to bring emphasis to or to the audience's attention. And people don't understand. It's like, well, how can they get the vocal to sound great, but I can hear his footsteps so loud too? And, you know, no, they're not strapping, you know, mics to the guy's ankles. We just add all that stuff in after the fact.
Yep.
Good stuff. Jody, any
hours
questions?
Hours on hours of it.
Any questions, Jody?
You bet. Brad, I think what you do is fantastic. And I, you know, I'm listening, I'm hearing B101, KISS in New York, a lot of the stations that I listen to. But I'm curious, sound. Were you one of those kids, were you one of those rambunctious kids that like to make noises? When did you get started, and what was your motivation?
Well, I mean, let me start with a clarification. I don't do KISS in New York, but if they hear this and they want me, you know, call me. I'm available. On the other side of things, only thing I really did as a kid that made noise was talk. I would talk and talk and talk. Matter of fact, one of my teachers used to tell me that I would talk too much. So she said, you can't talk until you do your work. Well, I would finish my work really, really fast, and then I would talk and disrupt everybody else. And she said, well, you can't do that either. And I'm like, well, that's not what you said. But no, I just... I got out of high school and I went into college, and it's like I'm like everybody else. What am I going to do? What interests me? And so what interested me was radio, and I got started in that. I did that for a while in college and went to pursue a degree for that. Started working in radio stations, and then that kind of changed with a bunch of U.S. laws and telecommunications and deregulations, and we won't go into all of that nice, boring nonsense. But the fact is it changed enough that I wanted to still stay into what I do with audio, but I wanted to leave that realm of radio. So this gave me an avenue to still pursue that. I have two great little boys that I'm able to work from home and keep them and, you know, still do that. So it was the best of both worlds, and I really do love it, and there's always more to learn, and it's fascinating every single day.
So you used to get told not to talk, and now people are paying you to do it.
Yeah, right. I'm thinking that's the way it always should have been.
I have one more question. If you had to say what your most exciting project was, you know, you just couldn't believe that you won this account, what would you say that was?
I would say recently that was the steel company in South Africa. Matter of fact, we just finished it. It's not even aired yet. Otherwise, I would mention the name of the company. It's not even on the website yet because they want to air it inside of their company first. That we just wrapped it up, but it was absolutely a thrill. I got to work with so many great people from the other guys who do the video, the color graders and the graphics guy and the film guy and the producer. They all went to South Africa and did a bunch of shooting in that. I didn't get to go, although that would have made it even sweeter. But to be able to do a project on that scope and really handle the aspect of everything that we hear from going on, from finding the talent. We had to find these guys. You know, a lot of people think we just record this, and part of my job in that was to track down talent that they wanted to portray their story and get their auditions on them and actually work with the studios in South Africa. It was a lot of early mornings here because I think they're plus 8 hours from where I am. And so early mornings here and late afternoons for them to be able to get that project to come together. But it'll be up on the site soon. It's reclaimcreation.com if you want to check it out, hopefully in the next week or so. And the fact that we got to do it in so many different languages and work with so many people, it was fantastic. I'm still gleaming and smiling ear to ear with joy that we even had a chance to participate in it.
Very
well,
neat.
Good on you. Have you done much work for Australia yet, Brad?
You know, I haven't done a lot of work for Australia. What's up with that, guys? I gotta start saying mate a few more times.
Yeah, say mate.
Where's the love?
Yeah. So what do you charge to do a voiceover?
It really varies by market, and it varies depending on where it's going to air, how long it's going to air, who's going to hear it, what's the purpose behind it. You know, we tend to, you know, cut a lot of deals for charity stuff because I'm a big guy and in trying to give back in that sense.
Yep.
But, I mean, the rates are all over the board. I mean, you know, for a smaller radio station, it might be a couple of $100 a month that they pay as a retainer to continue to use the voice and get new stuff cut. In larger markets, that can be upwards of $1,500 a month on the radio side of things. For the studio and the voiceover stuff, that can really honestly be anywhere from $120 for a script that's going to run for like 13 weeks in a small town on radio, all the way up to $27,000 for a piece. Shit. that we can finish working on. So it really just depends on the project.
Have we done many podcast intros or?
You know, I haven't done a lot of podcast intros. I find a lot of guys that are putting together podcasts haven't really got the budget solidified behind that. And as much as I would love to help everybody, when I do something, I hold myself to exclusivity to a point. Yep. So if I'm doing like one tech blog podcast, I wouldn't do another one.
Yep.
And so that can really start to limit where I am and how much money I make and you know, how I can feed my family. So it's tough to try to help people and at the same point in time still try to legitimately earn a living at something. And the thing that really is shocking, that I think is shocking, that a lot of people don't realize, is in most every jobs there's cost of living increases, and budget for media has continued to decline. So for over the last 10 years, the rates have not changed. And so, you know, in 10 years, we haven't gotten a raise.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. All right. So, Jason, more questions for Brad? Any questions?
When did the Reclaim Creation site start and your company?
You know, that the studio side of things started when the radio side of things really started to implode more and more and more. It's a great medium, and I really love it. Unfortunately, here in the States, when consolidation started happening, budgets started going down, and that, you know, affected us as well. So all my eggs were in that basket. So I think it's been a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. You guys, somebody could do a Who Is on the site if they wanted to and find out. But it hasn't been in business on the studio side that long. We've been doing the work, just not under that nameplate or shingle, for about the last 2 years.
Cool. Good stuff.
How many people do you have in your team?
I got to count. Just me.
Wow, just
yeah, just me. I'm a one man band. I make my own websites because I like to have control over what I do. And while they may look pretty simplistic on the front end, they have a pretty complicated back end because I'm also a fan of automating things. So when I'm done with a piece of audio, I drop it in a folder and it does like 40 different things. Wow. To that, automatically gets it uploaded, sends out emails and all this stuff on the back end for me, so I don't have to spend the time doing that stuff. But yeah, you know, I plug through the best that I can and do my own sites. I do my own billing. I don't even have an agent. Just me plugging away.
Cool.
And if you need extra voices and stuff, you just find your own contacts.
Yeah, there's about 161 local folks that I work with on a regular basis, and then we use ISDN and Source Connect that we can actually tap into just about anybody around the world. There's enough talent agencies cultivating talent that we can usually find who we need. And also, I'm a member of a huge voice casting network here in the States, and I can put out what I need on a project, and within, I'm not kidding you, hours, I can have 1,000 auditions for that project from various talent across the states that meet the criteria we specify and work for the rate that's in the budget.
Cool. Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, question I want to ask you, Brad, what do you think about the PR40 mics, the Heil?
The what now?
Heil. Do you like Heil mics?
Yeah, you know, I mean, everybody has different, you know, tastes and preferences. I like tube mics. I like condenser mics, preferably one and the same. And so really it's not to me about a brand name. It's about the sound or the color that mic can give. And that can change from the positioning of the mic. And it can also change from the mic pre that's used. So the environment where the mic's in and the mic pre are two of the really big factors that can change those. So I'm not real big on saying, oh, this mic's great or this mic is wonderful on this. I really want to hear how it sounds in the application we're using it, what pre it's going into, because that can really change the coloring or how uncolored it is in some cases for the application. So I like to test mics out, and I do have a few of my favorites, and those mics are really good as well.
How many mics do you own?
I think upwards of around 17 in any given cycle or so. We have quite a bit. We're always eBaying some or selling some as we're picking up new stuff that we find fits a better need. Cool. We'll pick up a mic if we need to, if the budget's there for a project, and then as soon as the project is done, we'll turn around and sometimes spin that mic right off if I don't see the need to continue to keep it and use it.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff.
I've got one blue snowball.
You know, I actually have a gate that we're blowing out and a mic, so if anybody needs... If anybody needs one. But, you know, one of the other things that we do that a lot of people don't realize as well is music. And I am not musically talented, but there are a couple of guys that I do work closely with that can create custom music. And so we do that if we need to create it. And then we're also, we license music through a division of Universal Music here in the States. So we have like 180,000 or 200,000 tracks of music that we can license out. And so whether or not we're doing the rest of the production or not, if it's a film company doing the rest of the production and they just need some music, and if they were to go and buy that what's called needle drop to use in their project, then they're going to pay, you know, whatever the rate might be on that. And because we buy a huge blanket license, we have access to that at a really a much better rate that we can license that out to folks as well. So that's, you know, one of the third aspects or third or fourth things that we do here as well. It's crazy how many things really are involved in getting that piece finally done.
Sounds cool. Like you cover all areas of audio for just about everything.
Yeah,
pretty great much. Stuff. You know, I mean, I'm waiting to make some other cool sounds. People think that like sounds. We do some sounds for some small Xbox games or iPod games. We haven't really done a lot of audio for gaming, but they think that like the shutter sound that they hear on their iPhone is a real sound, and that's not. Somebody made that sound or captured the real sound and maybe put it in there. Anything that can be muted isn't real. I mean, there's not a magical little leprechaun inside the iPhone putting earmuffs over the shutter to make it quiet when you hit the mute switch.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we're used to those types of noises, so they're added in every day. And one of the sounds that I like to tell people about all the time is ATM machines. And everybody's used it. When you stick your card into that teller machine to get your money and it goes down into the vault, or, you know, it's you know, shooting out those crisp 20s or whatever your bills are, that's not really the machine in most cases that you're hearing.
Oh, really?
It's a sound somebody made that's played through a speaker. Now, the machine may sound like that, but it's encased in concrete and other forms of things. Otherwise, if you could really hear it working like that, you'd be able to just tip it over and take the money.
Wow.
And people don't think about those types of things. But, it's just played through a speaker to let you know it's working. In a lot of cases, I can't speak for everybody, but there's so many things like that or analog sounds that get recreated in the world every day.
What about computer?
Yeah, that reminds me, I've seen a TV show not long ago, sometime in the last few months, and they were talking about car manufacturers, and they spend a hell of a lot of time just to make sure that a car door, when you slam it shut, when you hop out, sounds really good and really cool, and that it's actually a solid click. You could shut the door and it would not make a sound at all, but people don't like that. They want to hear a good, hard click, solid click, so that they know that it's actually closed, and they'll spend millions of dollars and many hours just trying to get the exact right sound on that door shutting.
Right. It's just like, you know, haptic feedback that somebody might want on that new iPad. It's that analog sensation that you get when you're interacting with that stuff. And car doors are the same way. Whether or not it's the click on that latch or whether they weight the doors in specific ways so when you close it, it makes that just right thud, you know, that just makes it sound like a solid piece of equipment that you're proud to own. I mean, weighting and stuff like that for sound, just to give you that extra little sensation or feeling so it doesn't sound like it's really thin, cheap pressed metal, like it's got some heft to it, is done all the time. You live off of that auditory feedback, whether you realize it or not.
And the same for electric cars. When they're driving along, they put things in there to make it make noise, because otherwise, I was hearing when they first came out and people were saying, I nearly got run over in the shopping center because this electric car came by. I didn't hear the damn thing, so I didn't know to get out of the way. And suddenly this guy beeps me. I look around and he's almost on top of me. I didn't know where he came from.
Yeah, it's crazy. Electric cars, they're quiet and they try to make them noisier, and fans that you put in your house are loud as can be and they try to make them quieter.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Jade, any questions before we go? Last questions?
I think I'm really intrigued by what you're doing, Brad, and I'm waiting to hear more things from your studio, and just keep us informed.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. I'm loving this. Yeah, sorry to be so long-winded.
That's all good, mate. It's all good. Now, what sort of technology are you getting into? iPhones and that sort of thing? Or do you like that sort of stuff?
I'm an Android guy myself. I am a technology guy. I've got three 23-inch monitors that I have in my studio, and then a 55-inch reference monitor that I use when I'm doing audio for video. I'm not a huge Apple guy. I like to have control myself and don't like when somebody else tells me how to use my products or where I can use them or what I can do.
Yep.
So, you know, I kind of stay clear of that. And I haven't seen any practical uses for any tablet, whether it's an iPad or the new, you know, Nexus-style tablet that may be coming. But although if the price is true and the rumors are true that they're talking about for like $149-ish or something like that, I may even have to bust out and get one of those.
Even buy a new iPad. So, Steve, let's come up on your show, mate, before we go. And a quick word with Jason, too.
We got the Bubba Food Challenge here done in Portland, Texas, the Rickster's Cafe. Almost 6 pounds of food, one hour, and $250 prize.
Can't wait to see that.
It's going to be coming up.
Coming up. All right, Jason, what's going on with the update coming out very soon?
It's already approved and in the App Store ready to download. So everybody go grab the TW podcast app for Tech Webcast. You can watch the show. It's now landscape. So people who are complaining that their videos were portrait now had a third of their screen was just black. Now it's fully rotated for landscape all the time. And everything's been resized and rejigged. So go download the update now.
Nice. And what about for the Android people? Any Android app coming out soon?
Not at this stage, no. They need to do some updates. Android's very difficult to work with, especially with the web views, and that's what our app mainly relies on. So if it was a game, it'd be out on Android already, but the Android web views are very tricky to program around.
All right, fair enough. All right, Brad, where can we find you on the internet, mate?
Yeah, man. You can either go to bradnewman.com if you're looking for some of the radio imaging promo stuff. For the studio side, is always at reclaimcreation.com.
Good stuff. All right, put that link in. Steve, where can they find you, mate?
Of course, here on JustinTV or .tv/LinuxCoolDude and Twitter, which is chatterbox_live.
All right, you can find me on Brad Oz at Twitter and Tech Webcast. Jason?
BlueBilby.com and on Twitter, Warlock, WAULOK.
Wicked. Jody?
You can find me at my website, webmarcom.net. You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept, and everywhere else is either webmarcom or Jody Rains.
All right, good stuff. Jody, thanks for coming on again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And, Jason, see you next week, mate.
See you then.
See you again. Steve, thanks, buddy.
Okay.
You lost the game, by the way. And Jody, thanks. And Brad, thanks for coming on, mate. You're a legend.
Thanks, man. Thanks, appreciate it.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out Tech Webcast on blip.tv and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes to make sure you always have the latest episode at your fingertips. Tech Webcast, Tech Talk for geeks.